turn to Genesis 25.
Genesis chapter 25. Our subject is Esau despised birthright. Esau despised birthright. Esau and Jacob were twins. They're twins, and they had great advantage. These boys had great advantage over everybody in the world. And they had the same advantage. God gave them the gospel, just like He's done you sitting here. That gives you great advantage over everybody in this world. God gave them mothers and a mother and a father who knew God, rested in God, and taught them the truth at home. That's a great, great blessing for children who have believing fathers and mothers. From their youth up, both of these boys were taught the truth of God. They were both taught the truth of God. These boys were very different. They were very different. Esau was the firstborn. He was the firstborn. Look at verse 25. The first came out red. Red like dirt. Red like the earth. That's symbolic. He came out earthy. All over like a hairy garment, like an animal, like a lower creature, an animal. And they called his name Esau. He's the first. He's the firstborn. What does it mean to be firstborn? What's the significance of that? God ordained the firstborn, primogeniture. He ordained this. God did. And what it meant is, you were the head of the house. The firstborn, by birthright, was head of the house. He became the prophet, the priest, and the king over all his brothers and sisters in that house and in the extended house. He was over the whole his father's house. Prophet, they came to him to be taught. Priest, he represented them to God, taught them things, sacrificed for them. And king, his word was the rule. What they went by. That's the firstborn. He had preeminence in power. His father gave him. This was God determined this. His father gave him a double portion of everything that he possessed, so that he had preeminence in power in all possessions in land over all his brethren. And as a descendant of Abraham, the firstborn had the promise of God that he would inherit the land of Canaan. And every true spiritual child of Abraham, every true believer knew that that land of Canaan was symbolical. You read Hebrews 11, he tells you that. They knew they were just sojourners in that land. They were looking for God's heavenly city. They knew it represented God's heavenly inheritance, the land and city of God. And then through the one that God recognized as the firstborn, this was included in the firstborn. Through the one that God recognized as the firstborn, the Messiah was coming. And that meant great honor. That meant the greatest honor that could ever be bestowed upon anybody, to have the seed of Christ in you. That's what it is. That's what it meant. You got the seed of Christ in you. The seed, Christ Jesus, is in you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down. David, all the way down the line. So all this belonged to Esau because he had birthright. He had birthright. Well, Jacob was God's firstborn, though. Even though Esau came first in time, Jacob was God's firstborn. That's who God recognized as firstborn. Look at verse 26. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. Now, don't look at that as being a crafty, cunning, deceitful thing. He came out already trying, striving to enter in
to God's presence.
He came out striving. The righteous, the God's people strive to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He came from his womb striving to enter. He took the heel of his brother and tried to get out first, so he would have the right of birth. And it says, and his name was called Jacob, supplanter, because he grabbed his heel, supplanted his heel. Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. All right, now here's a little something else how they were different. The boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Esau was a man of the world. Esau was a man of the world. Esau grew, and he became a cunning hunter, a man of the field. He was active, he was strong, and he was ambitious. He wanted to hunt not only animals, he wanted to hunt men, get followers, he wanted to get land, he wanted to get possessions, he wanted to be a CEO of a major corporation. Esau was a worldly man. And Jacob was a plain man. Jacob was ordinary. He was quiet. He dwelt in tents. It means he stayed close to home. He was a shepherd. And most of all, it meant he was not ambitious for this world. He was just a stranger in this world. He didn't put down stakes and roots in this world. He just put down stakes that could be taken up. Because he had a land he was looking for that God provided. See that you got a worldly man and you got a godly man here. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau. The father loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac looked on the outward appearance, and he ate his son's venison. And this was his firstborn son. It was his pride and joy. But he looked on the outward appearance. And for that reason, he loved Esau. But Rebekah heard the gospel. Rebekah heard the word of God. Back up in verse 23, God said, the elder shall serve the younger. And she heard Christ in that message. Adam is not the reigning leader of his people. Christ is. The elder serves the younger. Now we come to our story. All right, verse 29. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Jacob was making a big old pot of red beans and rice. He was making red lentils, red from the earth, red earthy, because it took on the color of the ground it grew in. Now, some, they say this was the meat of mourning. This is what you made when you were in mourning. And so for that reason, many think that this was the day Abraham, their grandfather, died. And if that's so, that makes both Esau and Jacob to be 15 years old. That can be figured to the day. They're 15 years old, if that's so. If that's so. All right, but here comes Esau. He comes in from the field, and he's faint, he's weary, he's exhausted, he's starving. Now, get this symbolically. This is what every sinner is in our flesh. Esau is weak in his flesh, and his lust is strong. Now, that's what you are in your flesh. Weak, weak to do what's right, weak to hold on your way, weak to hold on God's way, but strong in the lust of the flesh to have the earthy, to have the carnal, to have the food of this earth. That's what we are in our flesh. And verse 30 says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, or that same red, that red, red, for I am faint. And therefore his name was called Edom. Because he said, feed me with that red, red, his name was called Edom. That meant that all the nation that would be born of him was called Edom. Red, earthy, just like Esau. He craved the earthy meat, the red meat, that lentil. And so all his seed came forth just like him. They craved the earthy. Now, Esau in right here is a picture of Adam. And that is a picture of Adam. Adam came first. But Adam sinned. Adam lusted. He hungered after the earthy fruit. And he ate it, and he died. And so everybody that was born of him, all his descendants, came forth earthy, just like Adam. Just like Adam. But now Esau also represents a worldly man. A worldly man hungering for earthly things rather than hungering and thirsting for Christ and his righteousness. That's who Esau represents. That's how we're going to look at him. Verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Here comes Esau, faint, hungry. He says, give me some of that red stew. And Jacob turns around and he said, sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. I'll pay you with this red earth. Sell me your birthright. Now, Rebekah, no doubt, had taught Jacob the truth of the gospel. Jacob heard the elder shall serve the younger. He heard in that through the Spirit of God, Christ Jesus, who's coming after Adam, he's going to be the reigning firstborn son. And he's going to reign over Adam. And he knew that to be a firstborn son, he had to get that right of birth from Christ the firstborn. And to get it, to have the right of firstborn, everything God would give, he had to get it from Esau the firstborn. He had to get it from his brother. And so he waited. He looked for an opportunity to seize birthright. He wanted it. And when his brother came in, he saw the opportunity and he seized the opportunity. Now don't look at this as deceitful and cunning, though it was a little deceitful and cunning. But here's the thing. Jacob typifies, first of all, Christ. Christ was second in time after Adam, but he was God's true firstborn son. And like Jacob took hold of Esau's heel from the womb, Christ from the womb was serving God. He was coming forth to undo Adam's transgression. He was laying hold of Adam's heel from the womb, Christ was. And he came to redeem all his people from our sin. But Jacob's also a true elect child of God. And here he pictures an elect child of God. This is what happens. We hear the gospel, just like his mother taught him the gospel. We hear the gospel of Christ and him crucified. And we look for every opportunity to seize the birthright. We want to seek the firstborn, to have the firstborn freely give to us the birthright. We want birthright from Christ. That's the only way we can get it. Through faith in him. And we seize the opportunity, just like Jacob did, by the truth. And sell it not, the Scripture said. And we seek the opportunity because we've heard this good news. And we seize that opportunity. Verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Esau was hungry at that moment in time. He was hungry right then. And to him, to hear that gospel promise of Christ the bread, that was way off. Just like when you sit here and you hear this gospel of our eternal inheritance, right now to some of you, that sounds like that's a long ways off. And you get to thinking, I'm hungry right now. I want something that's going to give me some pleasure now, not have to wait till then. That's what Esau did. And Esau saw that opportunity. He said, I'm at the point to die right now. What profit is this birthright going to do me right now, right this minute? Esau represents a man who's willing to give up eternal divine blessings, to give up Christ, to forsake Christ for the temporary earthly gain of the immediate present. Now, verse 33, Jacob said, swear to me this day, enter a covenant with me. That's what the believer wants from the firstborn, isn't it? We want to enter covenant with him. Swear to me. Promise me. That's what you want from Christ. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He got what he asked for. Now look at what Esau did. Verse 34, he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He didn't give it a second thought. Esau sat down and he ate that bowl as fast as he could eat that bowl. And he got up and he wiped his mouth and he walked out and went back to his business. He didn't give a second thought to what had happened. And God said, thus Esau despised birthright. He despised righteousness by birth. He despised God. He despised Christ. He despised the gospel. He despised covenant grace. He despised birthright. Now, we're going to look at Esau selling this birthright as a sinner who trades Christ for for the temporary earthly things of this life. The firstborn and the blessing of the firstborn, the blessing of birthright, that typifies Christ and the blessing He gives to all who trust Him. The firstborn, birthright, it typifies Christ and the blessings He gives to all who are born of Him, to all who believe on Him. Now turn with me to Hebrews 3. Christ is the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn. Now listen to me carefully. Romans 8:29. You be turning to Hebrews 3. Romans 8:29 says, "Whom God did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Christ might be the firstborn." The firstborn among many brethren. Christ is firstborn. That's who Jacob typified. Now, God's firstborn is Christ Jesus. And Jesus was faithful as the firstborn. He was faithful to God as the firstborn. When you had a firstborn son, the purpose of the firstborn was that son was faithful to take care of your whole estate as a father. He would take care of everything for you. He would do everything for you. Everything. Remember, who was Joseph's firstborn? Unstable as water. He couldn't do a thing. He was unstable as water. But Christ, that's us by nature, unstable as water. But Christ came for the faithful firstborn son. And He did everything to honor His Father. And now, He's the head. He's the priest. He's the king. All preeminence is His. All honor and power is His. Because He's the firstborn. Listen to this from Colossians 1:18. He's the head of the body, the church. That's firstborn language. He's the head of the body. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. That's what Joseph called. Who was it that was so unstable in water? Reuben? I can't remember right off the top of my head. Anyway, God told him, "You're the beginning." Amen. Christ is the beginning. He's not unstable. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Because it pleased the Father that in Christ the firstborn should all fullness dwell. Now look here, Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, oh, I like that. Because you see, what I'm fixing to show you is the firstborn, Christ Jesus, He makes all His sons that are born of Him firstborn sons. You see, when that firstborn, as a father, he has the firstborn. Well, when that firstborn son has a son, you know what that son is? That firstborn son is? He's the firstborn. And when Christ, the firstborn, makes us to be born again, you know what He makes us? Every one of His children. Firstborn. So He says here, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Christ is our apostle. He's our prophet. He's our preacher. And He's our high priest. He's the firstborn. "Who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, He that built all things is God." He said He's God and He built God's house. So He gets more glory than you and I who are the house. We're seeing how He's the apostle and high priest, the faithful firstborn. "Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son." Christ as the firstborn son was faithful over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast to confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You see, Christ the firstborn faithfully honored God the Father. He faithfully fulfilled the law of God His Father. He faithfully redeemed all the children of God His Father. He's the faithful firstborn. And so the Father glorified Christ the firstborn. And now He's given Him all preeminence. And He's given Him all these blessings to give to all His firstborn sons. He did that for you and me who rest in Him. That's what He did for us. And if today He gives you faith to believe on Him, He did this for you. And He'll teach you that. Now turn to Hebrews 12. And when you get to Hebrews 12, mark it. Mark Hebrews 12. And we'll come back. We'll leave it and we'll come back. Now, God the Father has given Christ all the blessings of the firstborn. All the blessings of the firstborn. And Christ makes each of His brethren firstborn sons in Him. If you and I had a firstborn son, we could just have one. But not Christ. Christ makes all His firstborn sons. Let me show you Hebrews 12:22. You come unto Mount Zion. This chapter is all about following Christ, seeking Christ. It starts with run the race looking to Christ. It goes through talking about Christ being our holiness. Follow after Christ our holiness. You won't partake of any seed of the Lord if you don't. And then it comes to this. Now, if you're troubled, run to Him. Don't faint. Make a straight path to Him because you've not come to Mount Sinai. Verse 22, you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. You've come to the universal church that God Himself assembled. I hear people say, there's no such thing as a universal church. When did you ever see a universal church assembled? I'll tell you when I saw it. When Christ came out of the grave and all the church of God came out of the grave in Him and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, there was the general assembly gathered together at the right hand of the Father. Look at here. And who are we? We are the church of the firstborn. We're the church of the firstborn. Our names are written in heaven. There we are. There we are. God has assembled us in His book. He's written every one of our names in His letter. Men say, how do you get to be a member in your church? God writes your name in the member book in heaven. That's how. And we're members in His body. We're the church of the firstborn. Every one of us are firstborn sons in Christ the firstborn. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spiritual just men perfect. Look at verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That's where every believer has come. Unity, unity, unity. Oneness, oneness, oneness. Sin divides. Satan divides. Carnal men argue for division. Christ unites His people. That's where we are. Firstborn sons united in Christ. Now, every child of God, every regenerated, redeemed child of God, we have the birthright. We have birthright. We have the right of birth, of being born, of being firstborn sons, born of Christ the firstborn. And what does that mean? We saw Christ as the head of the house. He's the prophet, priest, and king. And the Scripture says, by His blood and by His Spirit, He's made us kings and priests unto God. The firstborn had all the preeminence. A double portion of the inheritance was given to him so that he had all the preeminence, all the power over all his brethren. Scripture says of us, we're complete in Him. He's given us a double portion. We're complete in Christ. So that now, the Scripture says, we're going to reign with Him. We have everything He has. Christ received His Father's eternal inheritance, the heavenly city of God. And He made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You've come to that heavenly city, believer. And Christ has that high honor. Remember, if the firstborn that had the seed in him, that was the highest honor that could be given under the old covenant. Well, under the new covenant, you know what we have? We have Christ the seed in us. That's the highest honor you could be given. That's how we're firstborn sons. We have Christ the seed in us. That's how we're firstborn sons. So the birthright, the blessing of the firstborn, they represent the blessing that believers are given through Christ the firstborn. Every believer is a firstborn son in Christ. You get it now? Do you see how important birthright is? You see what birthright means? Birthright is everything. Birthright's the gospel. Birthright's Christ. Birthright is eternal, everlasting, continuous with God. Birthright is salvation. Now, let's learn from Esau. Let's learn from Esau. Now, I'm speaking both to us. You keep the Hebrews 12 mark. I'm speaking to you who believe on Christ. It's one thing to profess we believe on Christ. One thing to profess it. It's another thing to really believe on Christ. It's one thing to say I have a broken heart. It's another thing to have it. The one that has a broken heart will say I have a broken heart, but he'll object and rebut and keep on saying, I think this is better. The one that has a broken heart will say, yes, Lord. Yes. That's a broken heart. And the one that's a firstborn son is going to continue to the end. Now, I'm speaking to you that believe, and I'm beseeching you, continue to the end. Continue to the end. And I'm speaking to you who have not yet believed. And I'm telling you now, believe on Christ and continue in Him. Now, consider what God gave Esau. God gave Esau the privilege of having the gospel preached to him just like you have. Just like we have in this place. Now, for you who believe, don't ever take for granted the gospel. Don't ever take for granted birthright. Don't ever take for granted that you are a firstborn child of God. Don't take that for granted. You be ever pressing to Christ, ever looking to Christ, ever following Christ, ever running this race looking to Him, ever going to His throne of grace, ever seeking His faith. Don't take for granted you're the firstborn. This world can come between you and me so easy and so quickly, and we take for granted, oh, I'm a child of God. It won't matter if I fall off into this sin. Scripture says, quench not the Spirit of God. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, have I quenched the Spirit? Have I sinned away every privilege I had so that I'm proven to be a castaway that never even knew God? It's so easy to take for granted birthright. It's so easy to take for granted that you're a firstborn child of God and to run off into sin and to cease sanctifying God in your heart so that you follow Him in everything. So easy to do that. And to everyone here, that I want you to hear God declaring this gospel. He's declaring here in this gospel that through faith in His Son, He gives us the greatest joy that can be had. That's what He gave to Esau. The greatest privilege that could be had was birthright. That's what He gives us through the gospel, through faith in Christ. The greatest privilege that can be had. God says to you and me, repent from your works. Turn from trusting in anything else. And He says, cast all your care on My Son and continue resting in My Son. He says Christ is all. Nothing else. Christ is all. You can't add anything. You can't take anything. With Christ is all. Continue in Christ. Now that's birthright. That's birthright. That's to be born of God and to continue in Him. And the blessings of the firstborn are unsearchable riches. He's given us unsearchable riches. What could possibly make anyone want to trade these blessings for anything in this earth? What could make us want to trade these unsearchable riches for anything in this world? What could make us do that? Now, everybody who's resting all our hope in Christ, you have the joy. What are these riches? You have the joy of total absolution of all your sins. These priests, men go to these men, they say, I absolve your sin, my son. A man can't absolve your sin. Christ is the only one who can absolve our sin. And Christ did. Christ removed every stain of sin from His people. He made it so God does see, He sees no sin in His people, past, present, or future. It's gone. It's blotted out so that it can't be seen. God says now to every needy sinner, are you a needy sinner? Do you need your sins blotted out? Do you need peace of conscience? Listen to what God says in the gospel. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they're red like Esau, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What I do? Nothing. Stop doing. What I do? Stop trying to earn salvation and rest in Christ. He says to all who believe on Christ, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Here's the riches, some of the riches we have. Everybody that believes in Christ know what it's like to have the law's curse totally removed from us. Oh, you know what a weight it would have been to live under the old covenant. Do you know what a weight that would have been? To have 600 and something laws that you have to constantly keep on your heart and mind to try to keep. You couldn't. Ladies, is there anybody here that's wearing some kind of mixed blend of fabric? You broke the law. You couldn't let corn and beans grow together. You couldn't let two different crops grow together. You couldn't wear mixed blend clothes. I'm talking about you. If you're out walking and you walked over a grave, somebody died there 1,000 years ago. You don't even know there's a cemetery there. You just walk along. You walked over a grave. God said, "You're defiled. You've touched the dead." You couldn't keep it. And that's the design of the law, to show you, you can't keep it. You can't keep it. You're a sinner. He's showing you, in the garden when Adam sinned, you sinned. And you, now here's a law to show you the offense of that sin. You can't keep it. Any man that thinks he can keep the law proves he's blind as a bat. Are bats really blind? I don't know, but if he's blind, I'm telling you, blind. If he thinks he can keep the law. But better than we know what it is. You know what the law is? You know what the breaking of the law is? It's the neglect of perfect love. That's what the breaking of the law is. God took every offense of His people for the neglecting perfect love toward God and toward brethren. And He put all the fury of His justice on Christ the firstborn. And Christ satisfied that justice so that now that curse of that law is fulfilled, it's gone, and while He took away the negative, He was fulfilling the positive. That was the love of the law. To lay down His life to the point that He was forsaken of God the Father and the brethren that He was doing it for. So that's love, brethren. Selfish, unselfish love that just is forsaken of everybody because you love somebody so much. That's the fulfillment of the law. And He did that, taking away our sins by bearing our sins in His body on the tree. You see that? That's inward righteousness and holiness and outward satisfying of justice. All together. We have that. Can you measure, can you put a price on the value of a clear conscience? Can you say what... I don't have... Brother Donnie said I don't have any guilt. Vince Long have had any guilt. We talked about that later. You know, you feel ashamed because you can't live like you want to live. You want to be without sin and honor God and everything. He wasn't talking about that. We have that. Because we just... It's like a child that loves his father so much, he wants to honor his father in everything he does. And when he knows he's disappointed his father, it breaks his heart. That's how we feel as sons and daughters of God. But as far as guilt, as far as walking around with a guilty conscience and walking around thinking, God's going to get me for something? No. He's my Father. I'm righteous in His sight. I'm made righteous by His Son. I'm accepted. I don't have that curse anymore. I don't have that weight. I'm not trying to keep the law. I've kept the law in Christ. Through faith in Christ, He's given us the peace of reconciliation to God. I can come to God. He's my Father. And He smiles at me. He doesn't frown on me. He smiles on me just like He smiles upon His only begotten Son. Just like He smiles on His firstborn Son. That's how God smiles on me. He delights in me. I can come. I can crawl up to Him and lay my head on His breast, just like John there at that table that night. And He says, wraps His arms around me and embraces me and loves me. That's what He does. Oh, we can let this world come between us and the gospel so easy. Sell our birthright and our heart, ready to where we don't pay God any attention, pay Christ any attention. That fast. Here's what we have. We have inheritance with Him. And we saw that this morning. Everything He possesses, we possess. Joint heirs with Christ. We've been quickened by His Spirit. We've been called by Christ and made a firstborn child. This is what God says to you and me. Listen to this. This is from 1 Corinthians 3:21-24. I'll just read it to you. He says, all things are yours. Every pastor he gives is yours. He says, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. Things, there are things in there we look on as bad things. Death, he says, no, death's yours. It's for your good. It's to usher you into God's eternal presence. To give you this inheritance. To take you off this soap bubble and bring you into real life. He says, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And that's all inclusive, isn't it? Everything. A throne of grace is yours. You can come to Him, pour out your heart to Him, and tell Him things you can't tell your nearest, dearest loved one. Isn't that something? In Christ, we have boldness, liberty to enter in His house anytime, and He'll hear us and speak comfort to our heart. You have the Holy Spirit. It's yours. He's yours. The Holy Spirit is yours. He comes and He gives you a heart, and He keeps you looking to Him, and He keeps you trusting Him, and He keeps you assembling with your breath. He keeps you. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is, I'm trying to convey to you the unspeakable riches of birthright. I'm trying to convey to you the unspeakable riches of being firstborn in Christ the firstborn. Now, these things are all represented by the birthright. These things I've been telling you in the gospel. Now, are we going to be like Esau? Esau sowed the future for the present. Esau traded all these spiritual riches for the temporary earthly riches of this life. Are we going to be like Esau? Will we despise immeasurable good? Will we despise God, His Christ, His righteousness, His salvation, His heaven, all that He is and all that He gives? Will we despise Him and trade Him for something of this world? Now let me ask you a question. Now I want you to think of this question seriously. What could it possibly be that entices you so that you'd want to trade all these riches and have? Is it the pleasures of your senses? I love to hear music. I love to taste delectable food. I love to touch, feel. Is it pleasure? All the senses are going to go with this flesh, just wither, 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 wither. But the Scripture says there are pleasures at His right hand forevermore. And don't you find this so, believer? As your body withers and decays, the pleasures of God get sweeter and sweeter. Because as your body decays, you can't trust in your senses as much. You have to trust in God more. And the more you trust in God, the sweeter it gets. I'm telling you. Is it earthly honors? Maybe you just want to hear this. I was with a boy one time. He wanted to be a country artist. And we were backstage at the Ryman, and we were standing there, and the crowd, so the boy went out, and the crowd went to applauding, you know. And he said, you hear that? He said, I crave that. I crave it. That's what I'm doing, everything I'm doing for. Applause of men. A pat on the back by a man. Well, why would you want a crown that men can give you that's going to men, when you get that crown and that applause of men and those honors for men, there's going to be somebody else coming to try to steal it away as soon as you get it. But Christ says He gives you a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. He gives you honor that will never diminish. What about bartering these unsearchable riches for earthly riches? Riches that will rust and canker. Men are Men will go into a business and they'll be so feverish at that business, just like Esau sitting at that table eating that red stew. And they'll get up and they'll go about their business and never even give a second thought that they've left the birthright. They've despised birthright. Suppose you go through life never giving a second thought to these things. Suppose you go through life and you become a great success in the world's measure of a great success. And you get everything you want. Esau did. Later Jacob meets him and he says, I have enough. I don't even think for you, Jacob, I got enough. And he did. He had a lot. And he didn't think about that birthright. It didn't bother him. But there came a time when it bothered him. He stood before his father and he wanted the blessing. Now, turn back to Genesis 27. Hold your place in Hebrews 12. Let's wind this up. Genesis 27. I'm not going to go into great detail here because I'm going to preach on this on the next popular story, but I just want to show you Esau's part of this. The time came that Esau stood before his father, and he greatly desired his father's blessing, but it was too late. Too late. Isaac, his father, gave the blessing to Jacob. God's going to give the blessing to all his Jacobs, to his firstborn children who rest in Christ. He's going to give the blessing to them that wouldn't barter. They wouldn't sell this truth. They wouldn't give it up. He's going to give the blessing to them. Esau, look here. I want you to see this. Genesis 27. Let me find it here. Verse 32. Look at the end there. Genesis 27:32. Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He came in from his hunting. Now let me tell you something. You sitting here that don't believe God, you got bigger fish to fry. You despise birthright. You despise this gospel because you want all these riches of the world. One of these days, you're going to come in from your hunting. You're going to come in from hunting this world and the riches of this world and the fame and fortune of this world. You're going to come in from your hunting and you're going to stand before God the Father. One of these days. One of these days. And look. Look here now. You put yourself, you consider God, Isaac here as God the Father, and you consider this the day of judgment, and you consider Esau as you standing before the Father without Christ to be your mediator, without Christ the firstborn, without birthright. All right, look at verse 32. It says, and Isaac his father, I meant verse 30 when I said Esau his brother came in from his hunting. It looks like 32 in my book. I think I'm going blind. All right, now 32. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? Isn't that sad? Here comes Esau, finally comes in from his hunting, and now he stands before his father. And his father says, who are you? One day he's going to come before God the Father, and he's going to say to every sinner without Christ, who are you? Who are you? Look at this. Look at this. He says, and he said, I'm thy son. And then he makes it more specific. I'm thy firstborn. I'm Esau. Don't you know me, Lord? He thought he still had the firstborn birthright. He didn't have it. He took it for granted. He sold it for earthly riches, for earthly bread. There's going to be many stand before him in that day, Christ said. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, who are you? I never knew you. Who are you? Look at this. So his father told him it was too late. He said, Jacob received the blessing and he'll be blessed. And look at verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. I can't even imagine what that cry is going to be like in the day of judgment, can you? An exceeding great and bitter cry. And he said unto his father, bless me! Even me also! Oh, my father! Can't you just picture
the proud sinner that went through life and got all his heart desired in this world and died without Christ. Can't you picture him standing before God the Father and crying out, "Father, bless me. Bless me also." Verse 37. "And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord." That's what God's going to say. "I've made Christ your Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for his servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. I've given him all the inheritance. What shall I do now unto thee, my son?" That's what he's going to ask you. When you meet him without Christ, God's going to say, "Now, I've given everything to Christ, my son. I've given all his firstborn sons to him to be his servants. And I've blessed them with all the inheritance because they trusted in my son. They rested in my son. They glorified my holy name. Now, what should I give you?" And look at this. "And Esau," verse 38, "Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Is it just one blessing you can give me? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now back to Hebrews 12 and we'll be done. I want you to see this. Hebrews 12, God gives the application. He says to you and me, he starts this chapter and he says, "Now you run this race looking to Christ. Don't faint, don't tremble, don't look back, because when God chastens his child, brethren, he's doing it to make you a partaker of Christ our holiness. He's doing it to keep you out of this world and keep you in Christ." And he says here, verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees." Remember how Esau came running in faint and he just gave up and sold birthright for just to satisfy his flesh. He says, "Lift up your feeble hands and your feeble knees and make a straight path for your feet." Straight to where? Straight to Christ. Straight to Christ. "Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lest you prove to be not ever born of his grace and you be turned out of Christ the way. But let it rather be healed. Run to Christ and you'll be healed. Follow peace with all," capital P, "follow Christ our peace with all. In everything you do at all times, whether you're faint, whether you're strong, whatever, at all times follow Christ our peace. And follow Christ our holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently to Christ, to be like Paul and be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but his righteousness, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Because the grace of God is in Christ alone. Look at this. "Now, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance." Well, it looked like he was repenting. It's not talking about him repenting. Oh, he was repenting all right. He was begging God, his father, "Give me the blessing." But he found that his father would not repent. His father would not turn and bless him. His father said, "Jacob's blessed. Jacob shall be blessed." Even though Esau sought it carefully with tears, it was too late. Brethren, now's the day of grace. It'll be too late when you meet God in judgment. He won't repent and give you the blessing. No, sir. No, sir. Now, the context shows you this is all about fleeing to Christ. Now, look at Hebrews 12, 24. He says, "You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the throne of grace. You're the church of the firstborn." Verse 24, "You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You've come to the blood of sprinkling. See that you refuse not him that speaketh." That's what he's teaching you. See that you don't refuse him. Follow him. "For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven." Do you hear him speaking from heaven? He's speaking right now in the words that you're hearing preached from heaven. And he's speaking to the hearts of some. Do you hear him? This is what he's saying. When you're weak, run to Christ. When you're chastened, run to Christ. At all times, run to Christ. And never, ever, think of selling this birthright. Not even for a moment. Not even for a moment. It'll be proven we're truly firstborn sons in Christ if by His grace He preserves us unto the end and we're found trusting Him in the end. We'll be blessed. Next time we'll see how Jacob received that blessing. And we'll see how every believer receives that blessing from our Father. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You and, oh, make it effectual. Make us hear it. We're fools running after fool's gold. We spend 10, 12 hours a day seeking earthly riches, teaching our children the earthly books, and we don't even bother in the last hours of the day to pick up Your book or to seek the riches from You. That's as backwards can be. And that's who we are, God. Turn us right side up. Turn us and make us truly, truly, truly rest in You. Make us seek You. Make us eat the bread from heaven. Make us turn away from this earthly red lentil porridge. And make us feast on Christ constantly. Don't let us take it for granted. Make straight paths for our feet to Christ. Make us lay hold of Christ our holiness. Lord, we don't like to be chastened, and it hurts to be chastened, but if we got to be chastened to be a partaker of Christ our holiness, chasten us, Lord. Spank us. Make us chafe. Make us partaker. We thank You, Lord, for these blessings. We thank You and pray that You've made us Your Jacob, given us birthright, made us firstborn son. We pray, Lord, that You'll give us the blessing, robed in Christ our righteousness. What a day that'll be. Lord, turn the Esaus that and make them believe on Christ. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.